This is a Pinball News production.
Morning. Morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Rob. I'm Dr. Scott, and I love what I do. And thank you. A lot of familiar faces. And I am living a dream fulfilled. I'm not going to get rich. I'm having fun doing what I do. I love to work on games. And I'd like to invite anyone to come to my store. It's right on exit 59 of the Ohio Turnpike, about a half mile south. And it's right on Route 20. I've got business cards. In the store, I have hundreds and hundreds of pictures of my customers I've taken over the last 20 years. And when I was getting ready for this seminar, I was sitting down at my desk in my office at home, and in my ADD-ness, I wanted to, I get easily distracted. And I said, here's my old droid from about a year ago. And, there's the SD card. I bet you there's some pictures of customers on here. I should probably get these developed. So I went over to Meijer across the street, a big box store, sitting in their photo department, 957, photos, and it'll take 3 minutes to download. And, yeah, there was dozens of pictures of customers. And, hey, there's a picture of Roland. Roland stopped in my store last year, and I'll print this out, and I'll give it to him when I'm at Expo. Now, I love coincidences. So I print out maybe 100 pictures out of my SD card. I go back to the store, and I make mention to Ron. Hey, here's a picture of Roland. And I put it on file cabinet under a magnet, thinking, we'll take this to Expo. Within a half hour of that moment, Roland walks in the door. And we laughed. He didn't know what we were laughing about. But it's a coincidence. And one of my favorite expressions is, coincidences are miracles where God remains anonymous. And I think it's that positive attitude, especially in repairing games. And I will be working on a customer's machine. And it's like, oh my God, where am I going to find this part? It's not my toolbox. It's not my parts box. I'll go out to the van and look around. And I've got boxes of parts. And one of the tricks that we like to do is we'll take a play field and strip everything off the play field, put it into a bucket. And so we've got this bucket of parts. And you can find lots of things in there. So that's as a suggestion. But I am absolutely amazed and grateful that I can find the parts I need when I need them. So one of my first lessons, and let's get to the list that I've got. Hopefully everyone's got a list.
If you guys don't have a list, we got some more up here.
But Allen wrenches. Okay, that's obvious. But one of the tricks that I learned is when working with a Data East machine and I don't have a 5/16 Allen wrench, what I've done is I keep one in my glove box. I keep one in the pocket of the truck or in the door. So whenever I need one, they're always available. I can always find one. I've got them a squirrel nutted away. Alligator clips and jumper wires. Now, I fell in love with jumper wires when working on EM machines because they're very handy to have when trying to troubleshoot a circuit. And, whether you're dealing with a bad switch or a broken solder or a broken wire or a bad connection, that they're really handy. Then got a broken fuse holder. I have sacrificed jumper wires so I can take advantage of the alligator clip so I can repair a broken fuse holder. And I have been guilty of jumping GI circuits with a jumper wire.
Oh, well, I got plenty of those in my toolbox from them down here.
All-in-one tools, Gerbers, Leathermans. Whip yours out.
Oh, we got to carry them with it all the time. Now, how many in your room has one?
I highly recommend it. Yeah. I had I had an employee who gave me one for Christmas one year, and he said, wear it for a week, and you will be amazed. And I probably use it 10 times a day. And it's when I don't have it with me, I am just absolutely, I feel naked. The only downside of it is it makes puts an extra 5 pounds on your belt.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you really feel that extra pounds. So I'd like this to be interactive. If anyone has a comment or something they want to add or suggest, please jump in. Awls, dental tools, long picks, they're handy for stretching springs, finding things. Buffing wheel.
Yeah, I can take that one. Buffing wheel, I mean, most people don't carry a buffing wheel in their car or truck when they're working on games. We do actually carry one in the van and truck when needed. I actually got one in the truck today, so we can bring it in and show you, but that'd be a little heavy to bring in here. What would you use that for? We'd use that for just, you know, polishing different parts that may need it. If the buffing wheel has a grinding bit on it, that's awesome because it can grind down things that are not supposed to be mushroomed, like linkage and such.
End of a plunger tip.
Yep. Yeah, trust me. I've had to fix a couple like that. The customer don't know why they didn't put the rubber on the tip. Sounds kind of dirty, but...
I always tell my customers that the plunger tip is the most valuable rubber on the entire pinball machine. And that if you have the steel rod nicking the steel ball, pretty soon you have a spinning razor blade tearing up your play field.
In fact, I recommend whoever owns the jack bout out on the play field or the game room to get that plunger tip changed. It's a beautiful play field. It's going to get destroyed this week.
And at that point, I sell the customer virgin balls.
Yeah. Next one we got on the list is bubble level. How many carry a bubble level with you?
How many have the app for a bubble level?
It is a godsend. I mean, they got also on, you know, on the Apple network as well as the Android network. They're both free. Another thing we don't actually have listed on here is they do have a bunch of free electronic apps for like looking up resistor values. The Droid one is Electro Droid. It's free. Electro Droid. Or if you just search for electronics under the Play Store, you should be able to find it. Have not found a good one yet on the Apple network, but they do have a generic resistor test, or not a tester, but you know, value thing called RLED, or RLED light, which is free. And it's just basically a simple little scroller. It's hard to see my screen, but you can scroll up the values and you can get the information on the resistor if you didn't remember the codes, like I forgot to.
Okay, switch adjusters.
Windows Phone has the
Resistor calculator on the Apple phone.
Windows
Phone.
Very handy, very handy.
Yeah, I memorized the color codes when I was in electronics school, but I have CRS, and why think too hard when you can let your favorite smartphone do it for you?
Yeah, we've already moved to this technology, so we're not going to look back at books.
Oh, yeah, talking about technology, Pinball Expo 20 years ago, 28 years ago was totally different than what it is now. It's different than it was 10 years ago. Technology changes, the hobby changes, and it's just go with the flow.
Yep.
An old EM tool, pin benders, switch adjustments. They're out there. And again, this is the sort of thing I always have lots of. I've got them squirreled everywhere. And when I need one, they're available.
They're in every drawer at the store.
Every once in a while, we'll start running low, and we'll just start going around the shop, dealing with. We decide to clean up some of the clutter, and it's amazing what you can find.
We found a lot of them. Next one we got here on the list is digital multimeters. If you guys were at the little seminar last night when we were working on the Aztec, there we did describe, you know, some of the ones that we use. I use just a standard voltmeter that you can get at Harbor Freight. They're about $35. It does just about everything. It's got this little handy fluke. I'm sure we heard the jokes about that one last night, but it's still reliable, still going. Even in the other multimeters, we also carry capacitor meter as well. This one also does resistors, so it's kind of handy. And I do have the small portable one because we know all of our devices now are surface mount. Very handy. I'm sure we're going to need that on that Wizard of Oz, but they say it's not supposed to fail.
Before I opened my store, I was working in a small electronics store repairing TVs and VCRs, and I had a meter that was good for voltages. I had another meter for
capacitance.
Yeah, and the shop foreman scolded me and said, "Buy yourself a Fluke. You'll never be sorry." And I've had this thing since the 90s, and it still works well. It's guaranteed for life. Dremel tools. Handy. Gotta have them. There's a lot of times when you have to fabricate a part out in the field, or you need to make an adjustment. Again, or, you know, buffing off the end of a plunger tip so you can remove it, so you can change the springs. Drill and drill bits. Obvious. And with a drill, you can attach the small buffing wheel and polish up legs. Usually don't do that for a customer, but if a customer has rusty legs, I'll pull out the steel wool or the Scotch-Brite pad and just give it a quick rub down, and it looks a lot better.
Yeah, it makes the customer happy. He comes back for repaired servo skulls.
Emery boards. The best emery board that I found is the cheap ones that politicians pass out at state fair or county fairs or wherever you can find advertising emery boards. But I don't like the sand. And so what I do is, especially with an EM machine, I will pull out the edge connectors and I will rub my emery board to polish up the edge connectors, and that gets all the grit off of the emery board, so you have a nice burnishing tool. Extension cords. Yeah, always have a power strip or an extension cord in the toolbox or in the truck. It's handy to have. Like last night, we needed to plug our demo machine in and needed to have an extension cord. It would have been handy.
Of course, we don't recommend that on newer machines because of the length and causes reboots and such that we don't like to see. Got flashlights on here. How many carry a flashlight with you?
You got it. Yes.
I mean, if you got a smartphone, you got a flashlight on you. Harbor Freight as well sells a nice LED one. And hell, if you're lucky, you can get them for free. Just pay attention to their coupons. I mean, in fact, we got lots of these things in the store. And if we're looking for a flashlight, where is it?
They're everywhere.
It's in the bathroom, or it's on the counter or something. They're everywhere.
Glue, obvious. Filling in posts, extended post holes. You need toothpick. I've got several tools. I mean, I've a couple tubes of super glue, Elmer's glue.
I hate the gel stuff. It takes forever to set. You've got to be careful with that because if you get it on plastics, it's a bitch to get off. The liquid, very little, of course.
Contact cement. I probably have two or three different things in my toolbox. The more, the better. You know, it's like with tape. You know, you have the electrical tape, the clear Mylar tape, the Scotch tape, the double-sided tape. You know, the more you can have, the handier it is.
And I've also heard Gorilla Glue is good, too, for, you know, stripped-out posts, toothpicks. But have not tested that theory because we don't really see that many stripped-out posts on games, but, you know, it happens. You know, so also follow with the hammer on the list, hammer to tap down, T-nuts. We can get these little metal filings things at Harbor Freight, the fixed screw holes. You tap those in with a hammer. plus to fix things that are not supposed to protrude from playfields, like lenses and such. Hemostats. Have you guys grabbed your fresh hemostats? What was it, Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, actually Wednesday when you guys were signing in. There was a bunch up there. We grabbed our pairs.
Yeah. And I'd like to thank the vendor who... Who was the vendor that was supplying the free hemostats? I wanted to give them a plug, and I forgot.
Yeah.
Lockpick, they're handy. And instead of trying to drill out a lock or pop it, American Heritage has...
I think so.
American Heritage has the lockpick set for like $20. And YouTube. I got it, and I thought, oh, you know.
Yeah, actually, I practice on my neighbor's house.
When I got it, I went to my car. The first swipe opened my door. It's not as hard as you think. Logic probes.
I carry one of those. I don't know if Scott does, because he doesn't really like playing with electronic boards that much. He likes the mechanical games, but I carry one with me all the time, because I'm sure you get frustrated and you have games that act so intermittent that you cannot find the problem unless you're actually looking for the problem. You can get these things at Radio Shack if you got a Radio Shack that still sells them. If not, they do sell them online. You can probably spend anywhere between... I'd say $20 all the way up to $60. I mean, they do have fancy logic probes with the little LCD screens in them. Not recommend it for pinball, but if you really want it, if you got the money to blow, go ahead.
Oilers, lube. I do not recommend WD-40. WD-40 has a few applications, but... I tell customers it's not a lubricant. It doesn't say it's a lubricant. Use 3-in-1 oil. Radio Shack sells...
You mean this stuff?
Oh.
And
no, that's a joke. I actually use this stuff just to clean parts and such and then wash them down, because I'm sure you've seen mechanical machines where the stuff's just gritted under the grease. Spray it down, wash it, dry... and put that stuff away, and it doesn't get sprayed on the game.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories is... what was that, Eric? WD-40 and steel wool, fine steel wool to clean legs. Have not tried that. Usually I just use car polish, but... use brake cleaner to clean the WD-40 off. Good suggestion. Thank you. Magnets. I'll take a speaker magnet, and what's nice on a digital machine is with the speaker you can put your metal parts right on it, but I'll have a magnet that I can throw inside a machine, so when you pull out a cotter pin or a piece, you have some place to put it. Also, it's really handy when magnetizing a screwdriver. And also trying to find parts that you've dropped.
Trust me, I dropped a lot of parts last night.
Matte knife and razor blade, that's obvious.
Yeah, keep those ever glass such.
Molex pin. If you've got to have the extractor when you're dealing with a Molex connector, there is no way to easily or without doing damage to the pin or the connector. So they're expensive, but I recommend you got to have them.
Or if you get lucky with a good old paper clip, but that very rarely happens. You curse more than you get it.
Double-sided mounting tape, I guess that should kind of fall under the tape category. Yeah. But when working with... the displays, nothing worse than having a display keep falling over.
See? I keep it in there.
Jack, what kind of double-sided mounting tape do you like?
It says 3M.
Yeah, 3M is good. And you can find it in any big box store, grocery store.
I will say don't go cheap on it, too. Wow.
Okay, Doc suggests using automotive double-sided stick tape. Good suggestion. Thank you. Nut drivers, quarter-inch, 5/16, 3/8, 11/32. The engineer that came up with 11/32 ought to be. But, A, it works. That's the green one. Nothing else works. But I've noticed, whenever working on a bally slot, you always know you need 11/32. Chicago coin 11/32 as well. Pliers, regular pliers, needle nose, vise grips, channel locks. One thing I didn't put on here was a vise. Usually keep that in the truck, a small portable heavy thing. But if you don't have a vise, vise grips are handy. Punch, that goes with the hammer. Working with a flipper link. Sometimes I want to change that out. I've got some spares. In the field, what I find is the trailer hitch works as a very good pounding platform. So you can put the flipper link in the vise grips, go out to the trailer hitch with your hammer and punch, and bang away. Q-tips, obvious, rags. Scissors, very handy to have.
And they're on your Gerber or your Leatherman.
Yeah, if you have a fancy one. Sharpies, very handy for marking.
Start and stop points and such.
But you're very skilled at touching up play fields with Sharpies.
Yeah, I don't like doing it all the time, but Scott swears, you don't touch up the playfield. Don't touch up the playfield. It's going to ruin it. But it comes back to it like a half an hour later. It's like, oh, my God, what the hell happened to this thing? But I try not to use that all the time because, when you wax it, if it's not cleaned properly or set right, that comes right back off and does more damage than it's worth. I've actually used Sharpie paint pens, which actually have a lot more control and get more intricate detail. I mean, they'd have, all different sizes. In fact, every time he goes down to Bowling Green, Ohio, he's like, well, what do you need for paint pens? I'm down here at Franklin's. They got every damn color in the rainbow. I was like, just black and red. Just black and red. That's all we need.
Okay, shrink tubing. Great to have when making connections. And last night or yesterday's seminar with the make your own Medieval Madness, how he would double shrink wrap. I was impressed with that one. Talk about being passionate and insane for your hobby. I was totally impressed with the Medieval Madness one. Soldering irons, solder. Another trick with solder is I squirrel it away everywhere. Nothing worse in the world than having to solder something and you don't have any solder. So that's the sort of thing I'll... And also I've learned never pull out the spool of solder out of the toolbox because if you lay it somewhere, you'll forget it. I always, pull out a stretch of a foot and use it. And then when I'm done with it, I throw that just back in the toolbox. So when I can't find the solder, it's always at the bottom of the toolbox. There's another strip you can have. Because I have been to the point where don't have my solder. I can't find my solder. I am actually picking up solder drops on the bottom of the machine and manipulating. You got to do what you got to do. And it goes with that attitude of gratitude of how am I going to fix this? Thank you. Thank you. Tap and die. That was years ago. In fact, this seminar is from one I did in 1998. What's in your toolbox? And Tom Taylor, hey, what's in your toolbox? And he showed a tap and die for when you have stripped out leg plates. Fantastic. It's a tool to have. It takes care of repairing the stripped out plates, and with the leg bolts.
Yeah, I've actually went the extra level. He normally would throw the bad leg bolts away because they're so badly torn. Well, I got this bug up my ass. I was like, well, you got to tap and die. Let's put this thing in the vise and re-thread these things. And here you know, after getting all these saved bolts that we've accumulated over years, we actually have a stockpile of reusable bolts that are actually stable again. And it's saving money, of course, and the environment. Green.
And also, another plug for Harbor Freight is the tumblers. And we've gotten the small tumblers. We've recently acquired the big, huge industrial tumbler with the warranty.
Yeah, we do recommend the warranty.
On the tumblers. Yes, Doc. The suggestion Doc had was to put the tumbler on a timer, so it. Now that's a real good idea.
We don't have to worry about that in the store because we keep it in our pole barn, and it just keeps people away from it because they think somebody's back there working.
Tape measure, will it fit through that door? Yep, it's always handy to have. That's what I find. And tie straps, nylon tie straps, toothbrush, toothpicks, Torx security screws.
Definitely keep those on hand.
And wrenches, both the box and the crescent. The crescent's handy when you can't find the box wrench. Any suggestions so far? Questions? Okay. How are we doing time-wise? Hey, we're almost out of time.
Lighter's fine. I mean, people actually use, you know, heat guns. Hair dryer, not so much, unless your wife's got a really hot hair dryer.
Yeah. Eric? What was that, Eric? A butane soldering iron. That'll work. Doc? And Doc's suggestion was using a hot soldering iron to use as a heat source.
Yep.
Also in our toolbox, batteries and battery replacement holders. Lately, we've been mounting the battery holders off the CPU board, and they're cheaper.
Cheaper, more efficient. Customers recognize battery holders that are in their kids' toys. They're like, where's the batteries at in this thing? I was like, look for the battery holder that's in your kids' toys. You'll get an idea where it looks like. But we mount them, you know, off the side, keep them next to the transformers and such. Believe it or not, it saves us a lot of headaches in the future, especially when repairing the boards. Because I get tired of fixing, you know, acid-damaged boards.
Or battery damage. Yeah. It's not acid, it's the base. And you can use acid, like a vinegar or lemon juice, to clean the battery damage. Playfield parts. I started working on a list of coils. I'll take the common coils, the 23800s, the 11629, the Data East flipper coils, the Gottlieb coils. And I'll have the parts boxes, and I'll just fill them up with different coils. Rubbers, more the better. I like the assortment packs, or you can get the, or just have baggies full. Lamps, more the better. Socket holders, drop targets, the basic styles, stationary targets, pieces and parts, bumper parts. The more parts you can carry, and as I made mention at the very beginning of the seminar of how we'll take a play field and we'll just take everything off the play field, put it into a bucket, and it's amazing rummage through and get what you need. So
I like to keep this on hand in the truck as well. It's getting an assortment of parts with you. We carry a lot of common stuff that we'd use on pinball games. Very handy to have around if you need diodes, PIAs, processors, capacitors. You know, you always get that stubborn bally where it just doesn't want to boot. And it's, believe it or not, it actually does work just fine. And we can actually troubleshoot a machine quick and efficient with this. I mean, yeah, it looks pretty crazy, but it works.
And before going on a service call, I'll usually ask the customer, is there a schematic with your game? And if they don't, over the years I have accumulated 4 file cabinets full of schematics. It's nowhere near complete, but I want to give kudos to the Pinball Internet Database, and especially lately since they've been putting on the EM schematics. I used to, you know, I don't even think you need to print them out. With my Droid, I've got the app for the database, and you can zoom in and move across and find the connection that you need. Yes, but having the big 4-foot sheet of paper in front of you is really handy too. So I think we're out of time. And okay, any questions? How do you clean star posts and plates? I'll let you do that one.
Toothbrush.
And overnight soaking.
Yeah, I've actually, you take them off the play field if you want to. I would soak them in, believe it or not, grease lightning and a little bit of water and let them sit overnight in warm water. And believe it or not, that actually cleans them up so they look like new. In place, toothbrush, and I'll spray Windex. Not a lot because you don't want to get it on the play field because if you get it underneath there, of course, if you forget about water on wood, what happens? You create speed bumps. And of course, I've already seen that 2 weeks ago on our buddy Scott's pinball game. Ripley's, believe it or not, his pipe busted. The game only had 165 plays on it, and his play field looked like a bad road in Toledo, if I can describe it that way. Any other questions? Yeah. I have not seen that yet.
The comment was a warning about using Windex as a soaking. That can.
We got some extra posts. I need to try that out. I like to experiment, so.
How do you clean butyrates when you use?
What's that?
Butyrates, plastic play field shields. The printed
Novus.
Oh, just use Novus. Just be real careful.
Well, thank you. This has been fun. It's what we do. And thank you very much, Rob.
Thanks.
I would like to make a plug for Square. One of the problems with taking credit cards with their store is you have to be PCI compliant, and they're coming out with this new style credit card, and the bank wanted me to spend $800 to buy this new machine for the new credit cards. And I said no, and my bookkeeper told me about SquareUp. They're free. The fee is 2.75% if you can swipe the card, and it just plugs into your phone. It's going to be the death of cash as we know it. They're wonderful. Thank you very much. Yeah.